you feel like you're in the middle of another major cryptocurrency marketing blitz between television commercials, sporting events, and more? Crypto's presence as a thing that people can interact with is increasing. Our biggest sporting competition, the AFL, has just announced a major partnership with Crypto.com, a digital currency platform, flogged by actor Matt Damon.
These mere mortals, just like you and me, as they peer over the edge, they calm their minds and steel their nerves with four simple words that have been whispered by the intrepid since the time of the Romans. Fortune favors the brave.
Matt Damon there telling you to be brave. But do you really know enough about this volatile thing to take an informed risk? Professor Jason Potts does know about cryptocurrencies. He heads the Blockchain Innovation Hub at RMIT, and he joins us now. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks, Richard.
Okay, absolute beginner's question, and it'll have to be brief, but what's a cryptocurrency?
It's digital scarcity. It's a way of having digital money and digital assets on the internet.
Right. So Bitcoin is the most well-known. I've also heard of Ethereum and Dogecoin, but there's quite a lot of them, aren't there? How many are we talking about?
Yeah, look, there's thousands of them and sort of more and more every day. But there's really only a core group of them that are the ones that are just the base layer sort of financial infrastructure ones, such as Bitcoin, that's digital gold, Ethereum, which is the sort of smart contracting one, and a range of other ones. But it's a growing ecosystem that, it's about 12 years old now. We're starting to hit into a sort of the beginnings of the mainstream phase, where these things are starting to become popular and reasonably well known.
So increasingly, they can be used like I'm going to say real money, but you know what I mean, to buy goods and services. But now, a lot of the time, they're being marketed as an investment, an asset class that you can make money from. How do people do that?
Well, it's the same way as owning. I mean, the way to think of these things is this is next generation digital infrastructure for an economy. So this is like owning bits of railways or roads or sort of money supplies or bridges and so on. Just the basic sort of infrastructure that's used in a digital economy, you can now own part of it. And the way you own, the way you sort of make money in this is by people basically investing in projects that build this infrastructure, and then other people come along and build stuff on top of it, and that creates value. So effectively, it's economic infrastructure.
So, but isn't it though as simple as I think that this, I'm buying a particular digital currency and I'm basically buying it because I believe that it's going to increase in value over time?
Yeah, and in a sense, that's the same way that you interact with the stock market, and that you're allocating capital to a project, that project builds something, and you can think of this as this is finance. You're allocating funds and capital, and you're doing that by buying a token. So it's a sort of a more democratic version of finance.
But how well does an average person understand crypto as a product to invest? I mean, you could do it, Jason, I'm sure, but I'm wondering how well the average punter does.
Not very much, I think. It's still, again, it is a new technology. This thing is only 12, 13 years old. It's moving at warp speed. But it is one of these things that it is a reasonably sophisticated technical product. It takes a bit of research to understand what it is. I think a lot of people that are going into it, I hope at least, are doing their research. They're spending the weeks and months sometimes to understand what it is, in the same way that you would do it if you're investing in the share market, as you wouldn't just randomly throw money in there. You'd go and study up the companies, try and figure out what they're doing, and hopefully approach it with a reasonably sophisticated understanding of what it is you're buying.
You would hope, wouldn't you? I mean,
you would hope, yes.
I think people understand what the share market is and have some understanding of equities. And of course, property in Australia is the great investment class, and we've seen rapid asset class inflation in property. But people kind of know that with property, location is the key thing. Other things are important too. With crypto, my general feeling is that people don't really have a clue.
Well, that's probably right in many cases, but there are ways you can learn about this. when you know, for each project, each token, each coin, there's usually a social media channel like a Discord or a thing that you can join. You can learn about it. You can interact with the community and sort of get information about what these projects are doing, because they're not just random coins that you're betting on. They're actual real projects behind them with teams of people, buildings, products, and things. And you know, when you're buying a token, that's what you're buying a fraction of or participation in. So you know, I think this notion that you can learn something about what's behind some of these coins.
Yeah. So how does crypto differ? As I understand it, crypto differs from more traditional instruments because it's peer-to-peer. There's no kind of trusted third party, which really has been in financial terms a bank. Yeah. It is literally you to somebody or something else.
Yeah, and what's behind these things is a protocol, and a protocol is just a bit of software that's issuing these tokens, that's governing whatever it is the thing is doing. So you're interacting with people that are behind it, that is the community that's building these things. But what you're interacting directly with is the software, rather than interacting with a company that is then intermediating that capital. So it's a more direct online digital version of something that we are reasonably familiar with, which is a group of people come together to do something and they need finance to do it.
But I suppose the difference is that in the conventional finance world, that is governed by regulators. Now, not always successfully, yes. But there are rules and regulations and laws around this. Is there the same for crypto?
Well, kind of. And we have to remember that the modern sort of financial stock markets and so on, that took about 100 years to get to that stage of well-regulated companies in the modern way we understand them. So crypto doesn't have the same regulatory protections, and that's an obvious risk factor that anyone going near this needs to appreciate. But it also doesn't need as many of them because it's not issuing equity in the same way. So I think there's a bit of a trade-off there in the sense that it's a lot easier to use, a lot faster to access, and so on. But it is mostly unregulated at this stage. Yeah,
you'll be aware that people like Tim Costello have come out against some of this marketing, like the recently announced partnership that I mentioned between the AFL and Crypto.com. He's labelled it gambling. What would you call it?
Yeah, look, I think that's a bit unfair of Tim to call it that. And this, I mean, if he's willing to also call the entire stock market gambling, then I don't have a problem with him calling that. But I think calling something like this gambling is trying to push it into a particular regulatory box where he wants it to be treated as entertainment, in the same way as a casino. But that's not really what it is. It's much closer to finance in the sense that it's direct peer-to-peer capital allocation to projects. And I want to see this stuff regulated. It needs to be pushed into that territory. But what we're really talking about is what type of regulation applies to this. And I don't think calling it gambling is trying to sort of push it into a box that would have it treated like a casino. And I think that's not really appropriate to what's going on here.
Well, I mean, Australia's corporate watchdog's getting more interested. I think ASIC recently issued a warning saying some investors are being swindled and that digital currency is enabling money laundering. And at the same time, in Europe, governments are cracking down on misleading crypto advertising. So what kind of regulation would work, would be the answer here?
Yeah, look, I think, all of those things. Crime is illegal. We want to try and have an environment here where people feel safe using this technology. We've got a lot of laws on the books that we just need to enforce and figure out how to apply into this space. We all want the same thing. We don't want this technology to be used for criminal purposes. But I think that's, what needs to happen then is that we just need to treat this in the same way that we treat any other bit of finance and other financial technologies. So I think ASIC's doing a good job trying to sort of understand how to apply this. I just hope that they don't sort of get too overly zealous and try and effectively kill the technology before it gets a chance to show what it can actually do.
Well, you can see why they want to get involved, because one of the things that I think is reasonably clear is that crypto, interest in crypto, is growing very quickly here.
Yeah, and I find that fascinating, and I think that what's interesting and what's behind this is if you look at who is interested in this, it's a surprisingly sort of democratic, wide group of people that, you've got a bunch of school kids that have never really paid any attention to finance and savings technologies and so on, that are deeply interested now in financial technologies. That notion that you've got whole new generations of people coming in, becoming investors, acquiring skills and getting interested in this, I think is a fantastic thing. So the idea that this has growing and broad interest that is beyond just a class of already wealthy people interested in this, I think is actually a really positive development.
So the answer, as well as regulation, might be more education, Tim, so that people have a bit more literacy about this area.
Yeah, look, and I'd love to see that. I think that is the obvious big first step to take. We're doing a lot of this at the university I work at, RMIT, developing courses and so on. So, we can develop better regulation, but I think by far the most important thing is just better education, and for people to have an understanding of what this new technology is, how to use it safely, and to understand how to use it responsibly.
Jason, thank you very much for joining us today on RN Drive.
Absolutely, my pleasure, Richard.
That's Professor Jason Potts, not Tim, beg your pardon there. He heads the Blockchain Innovation Hub at RMIT.